Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have two stories about North Korea. A South Korean news agency reports that North Korea plans to test larger long-range missiles. North Korea has said it has no interest in negotiations that would result in the North giving up its nuclear program. We will have more on that story later in the program. But first, officials at the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization say North Korea has reduced the amount of food it gives to its people. Katie Weaver has more.
Christina Coslett is the FAO's Global Information and Early Warning System officer for Far East Asia. Ms. Coslett spoke to VOA by telephone. She said North Korean officials told the FAO that food rations for July are 310 grams per person per day. That is a 25% decrease from June. The average food ration between January and June 2015 was 410 grams daily. Ms. Coslett said a severe drought is affecting the country's crop production. She said early planted crops, wheat, barley, potato, decreased considerably. She said she expected this year's production of potatoes and winter wheat to drop by more than 20% from last year. The FAO official said the early season harvest is a small but important food source for North Koreans. In her words, spring crops are vital for food security, being an important food source for the lean season, which stretches from May to September. Much still depends on the weather. Ms. Coslett said it is still too early to estimate the final harvest. Rainfall in the coming weeks is extremely important. The United States said last week that it had not received a request from North Korea for food aid. U.S. State Department official Katina Adams said, "The United States remains deeply concerned about the well-being of the North Korean people. North Korea has not requested United States assistance, and the U.S. has no plans to provide humanitarian assistance to North Korea at this time." The FAO says North Korea is having unusually dry weather this year, with rainfall well below average. The drought is drying up the country's irrigation water supplies, including dams, wells, and reservoirs. Last month, North Korea's official media admitted that the country had been hit with the worst drought in 100 years. Adding that the lack of rain was causing great damage to the country's agricultural fields. I'm Katie Weaver.
You are listening to VOA, Learning English.
Now we're in the place you can get your shot. Baby, you can feel it getting hot.
The Yonhap News Agency says North Korea has set up a launch pad equipped to fire long-range ballistic missiles larger than those used in earlier tests. Yonhap said the launch pad is close to North Korea's border with China. The structure was said to be 50 meters tall, but it reportedly has been extended to a height of 67 meters. Jim Tedder reports.
The launch pad is now said to have the ability to launch a rocket double the size of the 30-meter-tall Unha 3 rocket. North Korea used an Unha 3 rocket to send a satellite into space in December 2012. However, United States officials said the satellite went out of control while in Earth orbit. Observers said the launch pad appeared to be a step toward development of an intercontinental range missile, one designed to hit a distant target. Yonhap said a government official in Seoul provided the information used in its report. The South Korea news agency said the launch pad could be used to fire a long-range missile sometime around October 10th. That is the day when North Korea will mark the 70th anniversary of its Communist Party. Earlier this week, North Korea said it has no interest in negotiations that would result in the government giving up its nuclear program. A foreign ministry statement said it was illogical to compare Iran's nuclear deal with world powers to the situation in North Korea. The statement went on to say North Korea is always subjected to provocative U.S. military hostilities, including massive joint military exercises and a grave nuclear threat. The Iranian nuclear agreement will limit the country's nuclear activities in exchange for an end to economic restrictions on Iran. After the agreement was announced, U.S. Undersecretary of State Wendy Sherman called on North Korea to learn from the deal. "The one thing I will say, and I would say to the North Koreans, is that this agreement demonstrates that one can come out of isolation and do so in a peaceful way," she said. "It perhaps might give North Korea second thoughts about the very dangerous path that it is currently pursuing." North Korea said on Tuesday that it has no interest in any communications to discuss suspending or disarming its nuclear program. The North instead said that it is a nuclear weapons state. I'm Jim Tedder.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. Cambodia is strengthening its military ties with China. Cambodian Defense Minister Thaet Bang spent 5 days in China earlier this month. he met with high-level military officials and received promises of assistance from the military. Mr. Teabang told VOA his visit was successful in bringing military cooperation between the countries even closer. He said Cambodia now has stronger military ties with China than with the United States. Observers say Cambodia is likely to seek closer ties with China because of growing tensions with Vietnam over border issues. Cambodia and China have traditionally enjoyed good relations, but the two sides grew closer after a 2012 summit of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. At the meetings, Cambodia supported China in a dispute with other countries over the South China Sea. The following year, China provided a $195 million loan to the Cambodian government. Cambodian officials used that money to buy 12 Chinese military helicopters. In May of this year, China promised military trucks, equipment, and chemicals to Cambodia's military. Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Sen has often spoken about his country's ties with China. He spoke in Kampong Som Province last month at ceremonies for the opening of a road that China built. Mr. Hun Sen told a group of farmers that relations with China were stronger than ever before. He said China's development fund for Cambodia for 2015 was $140 million, $40 million more than in 2014. Chiang Vanarit is a visiting professor at the University of Leeds in England. He says China needs Cambodia as a partner in Southeast Asia because the area is becoming increasingly competitive. He notes competition between China and Japan and between China and the United States. He adds that Cambodia is taking more of a risk than China. If Cambodia depends too much on China, he says, it will lose the power to make decisions about its relations with other countries. Paul Chambers is a professor at Thailand's Chiang Mai University. He says China is a growing superpower that uses Cambodia for influence within ASEAN. He thinks China is using Cambodia to help it win what he calls a growing Cold War between China and the United States. I believe that Hun Sen has shown himself in the past and present to be a very good balancer among allies, he says. Hun Sen will increasingly welcome Chinese defense sector assistance to Cambodia. Also watching developments is Hugh White, a professor of strategic studies at Australian National University. He says the growing military cooperation between Cambodia and China is aimed at reducing U.S. influence in the area while building up Cambodia's military power. He notes that the United States is seeking closer ties with Vietnam. He says China's decision to develop stronger defense links with Cambodia is a reaction to the U.S.-Vietnam relationship. And that's In the News. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
And now, the VOA Learning English Program, American Stories. Today, Shirley Griffith introduces a classic tale by an early American writer of short stories.
¶¶ Our story today is The Devil and Tom Walker. It was written by Washington Irving. Here is Shep O'Neill with our story.
Before we begin our story, let us go back 300 years to the late 1600s. In those years, one of the most famous men in the world was Captain William Kidd. Captain Kidd was a pirate. He sailed the seas, capturing any ships he found. He and his men took money from these ships. Captain Kidd hid this money in different places. Captain Kidd was captured by the English in Boston, Massachusetts, and executed in the year 1701. From that time on, people all over the world searched in many places for Captain Kidd's stolen money. The people who lived in Massachusetts in the 1700s believed Captain Kidd buried some of his treasure near Boston. Not far from Boston was a small river which ran into the Atlantic Ocean. An old story said that Captain Kidd had come up this river from the ocean. Then he buried his gold and silver and jewels under a big tree. The story said that this treasure was protected by the devil himself, who was a good friend of Captain Kidd. In the year 1727, a man named Tom Walker lived near this place. Tom Walker was not a pleasant man. He loved only one thing, money. There was only one person worse than Tom. That was his wife. She also loved money. These two were so hungry for money that they even stole things from each other. One day, Tom Walker was returning home through a dark forest. He walked slowly and carefully so that he would not fall into a pool of mud. At last, he reached a piece of dry ground. Tom sat down on a tree that had fallen. As he rested, he dug into the earth with a stick. He knew the story that Indians had killed prisoners here as sacrifices to the devil. But this did not trouble him. The only devil Tom was afraid of was his wife. Tom's stick hit something hard. He dug it out of the earth. It was a human skull. In the skull was an Indian axe. Suddenly, Tom Walker heard an angry voice. "Don't touch that skull!" Tom looked up. He saw a giant sitting on a broken tree. Tom had never seen such a man. He wore the clothes of an Indian. His skin was almost black and covered with ashes. His eyes were big and red. His black hair stood up from his head. He carried a large axe. The giant asked, "What are you doing on my land?" But Tom Walker was not afraid. He answered, "What do you mean? This land belongs to Mr. Peabody." The strange man laughed and pointed to the tall trees. Tom saw that one of the trees had been cut by an axe. He looked more closely and saw that the name Peabody had been cut into the tree. Mr. Peabody was a man who got rich by stealing from Indians. Tom looked at the other trees. Every one had the name of some rich, important man from Massachusetts. Tom looked at the tree on which he was sitting. It also had a name cut into it, the name of Absalom Croninshield. Tom remembered that Mr. Croninshield was a very rich man. People said he got his money, as Captain Kidd did, by stealing ships. Suddenly, the giant shouted, "Croninshield is ready to be burned. I'm going to burn many trees this winter." Tom told the man that he had no right to cut Mr. Peabody's trees. The stranger laughed and said, "I have every right to cut these trees. This land belonged to me a long time before Englishmen came to Massachusetts. The Indians were here. Then you Englishmen killed the Indians. Now I show Englishmen how to buy and sell slaves, and I teach their women how to be witches." Tom Walker now knew that the giant was the devil himself. But Tom Walker was still not afraid. The giant said Captain Kidd had buried great treasures under the trees, but nobody could have them unless the giant permitted it. He said Tom could have these treasures, but Tom had to agree to give the giant what he demanded. Tom Walker loved money as much as he loved life, but he asked for time to think. Tom went home. He told his wife what had happened. She wanted Captain Kidd's treasure. She urged him to give the devil what he wanted. Tom said no. At last, Mrs. Walker decided to do what Tom refused to do. She put all her silver in a large piece of cloth and went to see the dark giant. 2 days passed. She did not return home. She was never seen again. People said later that Tom went to the place where he had met the giant. He saw his wife's cloth hanging in a tree. He was happy because he wanted to get her silver. But when he opened the cloth, there was no silver in it, only a human heart. Tom was sorry he lost the silver, but not sorry he lost his wife. He wanted to thank the giant for this. And so every day he looked for the giant. Tom finally decided that he would give the giant what he wanted in exchange for Captain Kidd's treasure. One night, Tom Walker met the giant and offered his soul in exchange for Captain Kidd's treasure. The devil now wanted more than that. He said that Tom would have to use the treasure to do the devil's work. He wanted Tom to buy a ship and bring slaves to America. As we have said, Tom Walker was a hard man who loved nothing but money. But even he could not agree to buy and sell human beings as slaves. He refused to do this. The devil then said that his second most important work was lending money. The men who did this work for the devil forced poor people who borrowed money to pay back much more than they had received. Tom said he would like this kind of work. So the devil gave him Captain Kidd's treasure. A few days later, Tom Walker was a lender of money in Boston. Everyone who needed help, and there were many who did, came to him. Tom Walker became the richest man in Boston. When people were not able to pay him, he took away their farms, their horses, and their houses. As he got older and richer, Tom began to worry. What would happen when he died? He had promised his soul to the devil. Maybe, maybe he could break that promise. Tom then became very religious. He went to church every week. He thought that if he prayed enough, he could escape from the devil. One day, Tom took the land of a man who had borrowed money. The poor man asked for more time to pay. "Please do not destroy me," he said. "You have already taken all my money." Tom got angry and started to shout, "Let the devil take me if I have taken any money from you." That was the end of Tom Walker. For just then he heard a noise. He opened the door. There was the black giant holding a black horse. The giant said, "Tom, I have come for you." He picked up Tom and put him on the horse. Then he hit the horse, which ran off, carrying Tom. Nobody ever saw Tom Walker again. A farmer said that he saw the black horse with a man on it running wildly into the forest. After Tom Walker disappeared, the government decided to take Tom's property, but there was nothing to take. All the papers which showed that Tom owned land and houses were burned to ashes. His boxes of gold and silver had nothing in them but small pieces of wood. The wood came from newly cut trees. Tom's horses died, and his house suddenly burned to ashes.
You have just heard the American story, The Devil and Tom Walker. Shep O'Neill was our storyteller. Listen again next week for another American Stories program on VOA Learning English.